Today's Tuesday, June 19th. I don't know where June is going.
It's gone already, for the most part. I've paid most of my bills this month already.
That's old people talk that we're doing right there. It's like, where did June go?
That's how it feels, though. Of
January, just a few weeks ago.
I have a theory that, like, the reason as a kid you don't really notice time going is because you don't have to keep track of it. Like, You don't have to pay rent. You don't have to, like, you know, manage all this stuff. Stuff is just managed for you, so you don't have constant reminders of time.
But you also don't have the oppression of figuring out that life is just a hollow, empty, painful shell.
Well, if I didn't have to pay bills and, like, you know, meet deadlines, I feel like life wouldn't be quite such a hollow, dead shell.
You think trust fund kids are basically a Never Never Land? Like,
I would assume so.
Every day just feels like
by far.
Yeah. If you're a trust fund kid, leave a comment below.
Or join our Patreon at the really high tier.
Well, you know who else might feel that way? Are people who really, really, really love their work. Like the hardest working man in corruption.
That's an amazing segue.
That's actually very good.
Because Ajit Pai is, of course, who we're talking about. Now, the backstory here is that Ajit Pai is already under investigation for corruption.
Take your pick.
Well,
what exactly is he not under investigation for?
It's corruption in general, but specifically, he was helping Sinclair Broadcasting.
Yeah, we did this story when you were out about how he had changed the UHF loophole and done all of these things. But he's doing more things because they've actually scheduled a hearing. It's like, was it July 12th? They're like, should we maybe vote and see if this guy's really, like, is he really doing what we think we're doing? So he's actually trying to push through before July 12th so that Sinclair can get its way,
yeah,
which is incredible.
This is because the court is investigating and, oh, I've clicked on something. This is because the court is investigating, and and so it's like he wants to get this done before the court can say anything. So it's like, oops, too late. Sorry,
so deal with it. You're telling me Ajit Pai is like, where did June go?
No, I think he enjoys it. I think it's ecstasy for him.
Well,
that's
why I'm drinking out of that mug.
Yeah, that's why he's the hardest working man in corruption. He'll work around the clock for Sinclair, and he'll enjoy it.
I also like how Sinclair is like, we're at 39% of the market, and it's like, that's going to be the new line in the sand. It's like, no company can be larger than 39% of the market. And it's
until Sinclair gets higher than that, and then it's like, we should change the number.
That was that UHF loophole. They're actually more than that, but they're cheating.
They're cheating how it's counted.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things the article mentioned was that Sinclair was selling to a competing station that is actually a wholly owned subsidiary of Sinclair. So
that's incredible.
A Senate panel is calling a key figure from Cambridge Analytica to testify. This is a contractor programmer. Poor guy.
He was confused.
So this guy was a programmer, and he was working in academia, and Facebook has thrown him under the bus. They're basically saying, hey, guy, we wanted to give you access so that you could run academic reports on all of this data from these people, but you gave it to Cambridge Analytica for commercial purposes, and that's totally not what we had in mind. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I think he knew exactly what he was doing. I think everybody at every level knew exactly what was going on here.
Yeah.
So I don't have much sympathy for that guy.
It was an experiment. It was, hey, maybe we can give this guy in academia maybe they can come up with something cool to do with the data, and we can commercialize it. Because what do you do with big data except commercialize it?
But after Trump got elected, they used that in their marketing.
Yeah.
And he had to know about that. So it's not like he saw it and was like, whoa, guys, I didn't intend for that.
I just thought you wanted to know for giggles.
Yeah, there was no regret until they got caught. So I don't think so.
Poor programmer under the bus.
Wendell, just really holding on to that narrative that programmers can't do anything wrong. I certainly have never been wrong.
Never. The ICANN is pushing their Who Is case to the European Court of Justice. This has to do with GDPR. This requires a little bit of an explainer.
Well, we did this story last week, too. The story we did last week was how the U.S. actually wrote in some sort of memo. It's like, perhaps we should take back control of ICANN.
It was literally just to be inflammatory. Yeah, was the headline.
But this points out the reason why.
When you buy a domain name, there is information added to a registry, the Who Is registry, about who bought the domain name. Now, you can get a private registration, but it's still possible to contact the domain owner through that private registration. So you've got a communication channel for anybody that owns a domain. So this is convenient in case somebody is sending spam through a domain, or you lose control of a domain to spammers, or somebody buys a domain explicitly for the purpose of spamming. There are useful reasons that you would want Whois data to be public or quasi-public, and that was not considered when GDPR was put into effect. And so ICANN is also not really helping their case by flailing about wildly and kind of throwing a tantrum.
Yeah, they were never really meant to make or have money, but nobody anticipated the top-level domain auctions. So now they have hundreds of millions of dollars. And it appears what they're doing with it is bonusing themselves at the end of every year and giving it to lawyers. And the lawyers are just
having a field day.
Churning.
They're actively baiting the lower courts in Germany to be like, no, we're going to appeal this. We don't care how you rule. We're going to appeal it no matter what you say to the highest court of European justice. So,
but, you know, here's some foreshadowing. It can be very dangerous to have your personal information on Whois, as we'll learn in a future episode of the news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, it's planning. We're putting effort into organizing the stories and thinking about it and doing the commentary.
We've always put effort into organizing the stories, but, like, we don't always get it right.
The lowest effort channel on YouTube.
Speaking of, we've been doing this for, like, a year and a half, almost 2 years, and we have a screen set up on the side here where we have the stories pulled up, and then we have OBS pulled up. Just today, after a year and a half, we realized we should put the stories on this side closer to the camera so you can't tell that we're looking at the screen as much.
Oh, I'm sure they can tell. They can definitely tell we're looking.
Before we had it on the far side, so it was like way more obvious.
Patreon stretch goal to install some sort of like two-way mirror so we can see the stories directly on the glass when we're looking at the camera.
And then
so
we're all just staring at the camera weird the whole time. Like the first intro we did.
With the dead eyes, yes.
People just feel like we're reading them, because we're reading stories.
We actually are reading the stories.
I was talking to some of the other TechTubers in Taipei, and I learned that there's actually a class you can take on what to do with your hands and how to look at the camera and stuff, and they were very polite about saying, you should probably do that.
Aw.
We're not about that here.
I'm usually like wringing my hands under the table.
We're ass being proud.
Speaking of that, Seattle. So Amazon.
There's no Amazon.
I'm so off track for real this week. I'm so tired.
There come the up or down dudes, depending on how you swing. Seattle. So we talked about this. Seattle has abandoned its plan to tax large companies like Amazon and Microsoft on a per employee basis. It's like $250 a head in order to get money to deal with the homeless situation in Seattle.
Yeah, Amazon, they found out about it, and they said, oh, well, I guess we'll just stop building this huge warehouse we were working on.
And they literally did.
And the politicians were like, we were kidding. Yeah, this is a good joke, wasn't it?
The timeline implies that negotiations started at this like city council meeting at 1 p.m., and it didn't adjourn until 12:25 or whatever the next day.
Yeah, I think they gave them some extra time for citizens to speak out about it. And I think the citizens were mostly pro-tax. But at the end of the day, Amazon gets their way because they were just going to leave. And Washington can't have that.
How insane is the homeless problem in Seattle? Is it like New York insane, where
it's
New York
bad.
Pays for like a bus ticket out of the city?
Well, there's think
Seattle
about it.
Seattle and there's Tacoma. Tacoma's the ghetto.
Think about it's a situation where the housing is just beyond outrageous. And it rains a lot, but the weather otherwise isn't too horribly terrible. And the people you're begging from are filthy, stinking rich. So
it's mostly people coming from California. My family complains about that all the time.
Who, at the best of times, are just one step above homeless.
Because of the cost of living in California. That's the joke.
And they're, you know, just natural hippies and scum.
Well, patchouli is cheaper than showering.
Oh, no, especially, it's all about essential oils now.
Especially if you get it on Prime.
Could you get Amazon Prime to a park bench?
Yeah, you got those lockers. You know how they do the...
Oh, no, there's like a whole system for it. I've been watching van life videos on YouTube, and there's like a whole system to get your mail, and because you got to get them packages, you know.
Here come the comments about homelessness being very serious.
Oh, well, yeah. It is actually pretty bad. But
if you can't joke about the homeless, what can you joke about?
ZTE? Like, apparently they were going to be fined. I don't see this. This is so infuriating. So the Senate is trying to pass a bill to reverse the ZTE deal. And so ZTE is a Chinese telecom company, and there were allegations of them basically being an apparatus of the Chinese surveillance state. And then it was like...
No. The actual reason for it is because they violated Iranian or North Korean sanctions.
That was the stated official reason. And then the Senate is trying to reverse this after they've been fined,
but it's
on national security grounds.
It's way worse than, well, so you left out a step. Trump spoke out against ZTE because of the sanctions and the Chinese spying. It was probably more about the Chinese spying, but the sanctions were the official reason. Then they were some talks, and he said, all right, we've negotiated. It's going to be $1 billion paid by ZTE to the U.S. government, I guess. And we're going to install a panel of overseers to make sure that they're not being evil. Now, Congress, but you're leaving out another important point, attaching this to a spending bill that, you know, whether you're for this or against it, and there's probably some good reasons to be against ZTE. I don't know enough about what they actually did. But this practice of stuffing bills, or, you know, what you want into important spending bills, this has got to stop. This is ridiculous.
Children will not get their school lunches until ZTE is banned.
Exactly.
It's like, that's not how we should operate, guys.
Well, we better pass it then.
I don't understand why, you know, three bozos on internet are the voices of reasonableness.
And some would say we're not even that reasonable. So.
Yeah, that's possible.
We're more reasonable than the people making decisions, which is
kind
of scary.
I would love to know more about what's going on with ZTE, because, I mean, you could make an argument that Cisco is also an extension of, like, the NSA, which is why they were freaking out about their passworded backdoors.
Yeah, well, Kaspersky. I mean, I don't see the difference between Kaspersky and all, like, AT&T. Because we know AT&T has helped the government spy.
For a small fee.
Very small.
More out of the goodness of their hearts.
$1 billion fine. It's just... It's about the technology. It's not about...
Paid and craft singles. That's why it's so orange.
Well, there's not... That's not even really... That's...
I think that's 100% real news.
Carrots will turn you orange. That's real.
That is real. And if carrots can do it, why can't cheese do it?
Well, because I don't think cheese has the same chemical makeup as carrots.
I think it's true.
I think if you ate that much cheese, you would have
other problems. Yes.
Facebook. Okay, so this is The Hill, so this is going to be a quasi-political story, but Facebook has given 500 pages of answers to lawmakers' questions.
Well, let me defend using The Hill as a link. We use the Wall Street Journal article as a link. And it's paywall. So.
Sorry, Wall Street Journal. But the 500 pages here, they were very careful to not answer some of the questions.
Yeah, they pointed out really the hard questions. So the other thing is Zuckerberg, he was like, we will get these to you in, what, 10 hours, I think he promised?
Yeah.
How was it a month ago?
Yeah, that was like a month ago.
And 500 pages of fluff, basically, really doesn't answer any of the hard-hitting questions.
I do like how his go-to is... We're not doing enough. We're going to do better about that in the future. It's like, you know what? You're right. We're going to do better about that in the future. And it's like, okay, that's cool. But you're repeating that so robotically. I don't think that you're really going to do that.
Well, but also...
That is a motion module installed.
In the meantime, I don't know. This is when you were out of the country. But there was the app developers had the same access they discovered.
Oh,
yeah. And Nissan and RBC Bank had the same access. So this was still going on as of a week ago.
So what you're telling me is Arby's is developing a psychological profile for me so that I will crave its roast beef?
RBC.
RBC.
It's like Royal Bank of Canada or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, RBC.
Not Arby's, the popular fast food.
I mean, they might be doing that, but why would they?
Right. Why would a bank need that kind of data?
I don't know that that's what it is. I think it's either RBE or RBC was the acronym.
It was definitely a bank, though.
I'm making a lot of guesses here. But the point is, they don't need it. And neither does Nissan.
The point is that they've been caught doing stuff so wrong, they need a colonoscopy with an electron microscope at this point. Maybe.
Wouldn't it be harder to find things?
Yeah, that's kinda...
It's like even more of a needle haystack kind of a situation.
I mean, if they're so full of evil, then
It seems like he would just trip over it. Like he wouldn't even need any kind of.
He just put a stick in there and pull it. It's like, you know, when you bake a cake and you have to see if it's done in the middle.
It's just a fork. You pull it out.
Who buys toothpicks for home? I'm not rich like that. Where is a fork? Comment your preference below.
Sweden is trying to halt its march toward cashlessness. So, this is kind of a follow-up, but there's some kind of new information. You guys reported on the credit card processing outage that affected some European countries last week, I think.
It was most of Western Europe.
How did that go? Did anybody experience that? Did you go to the grocery store and just abandon your cart of frozen goods? Because that's always the pits. It's like, well, I'd love to pay for this, but some good people, luck restocking the ice cream.
Some people in the comments said I wasn't affected because everybody here uses debit card, not credit card. But like here, even debit cards are Visa or MasterCard or something.
Same system.
So I don't know. Maybe that's not the case over there.
Hmm. That seems dangerous.
I don't know. But yeah, this is... it's funny because the banks... So like, what is the bank's purpose? Of course, to give me access to cash, right? You think. But they're saying, oh, no, no, no. If we have to handle cash, it's going to add hundreds of millions of overhead. We just can't afford to do it. And we don't want to pass those costs on to the people. That would be terrible.
But the government's looking to get involved because you have to have cash.
Well, the other thing, the unspoken thing there is every time you use a debit card or a credit card or in America, even your entitlement card, like the SNAP, what used to be food stamps, the banks get, JP Morgan is the like custodian of the food stamps. They get a payment every time you swipe.
Yeah.
So these guys have a reason to want to get rid of cash because it makes them a ton of money.
Oh, handling cash is just too expensive. It's like, no, no.
That's what you're in the business of doing.
But we don't want to do that.
We gave you a license to print money, and in return, you just have to have cash available from time to time. They're like, oh, that's, no. It's dirty. It's got cocaine on it.
We should play a game on the Level 1 News, which is this something that was uttered in George Orwell's 1984, or is this something that was said recently? And this one is kind of that. In the Independent in the UK, digital IDs are needed to end mob rule online, says Security Minister Ben Wallace. I don't think Ben Wallace should have gotten to Security Minister having that deep of a misunderstanding of how things work
Look
online.
Look at this photo.
I think he got there because of that.
Is he trying to smize right now?
Smize?
Yeah, or you smile with your eyes, as Tyra would say.
It's probably been touched up.
Yeah.
It's probably heavily photoshopped.
Yeah, probably.
Why would somebody say that?
Because he wants to monitor everything that happens. And of course, this is for protect the children, online terror,
definitely
online
not
scams.
The government monitoring.
He actually, in this article, he's quoted, he's like, everybody says the government are the bad guys because we're tracking everything online. We're not the bad guys. It's the technology companies. They're the bad guys.
And if you say that we're the bad guys and we have a digital ID, you're going to prison.
And
you're breaching the peace.
We will see several stories in this episode of the news coming up of why governments who have full control of the internet is always a bad idea.
I like the quote that is, he also took aim at the phoniness of Silicon Valley billionaires and called for companies such as WhatsApp to contribute to society over the negative costs of their technology, such as end-to-end encryption.
Oh, yeah, they want a tax. So somehow they want to quantify how bad end-to-end encryption is for society, and you pay that as a tax. Which...
I missed that.
I think end-to-end encryption is a good thing. So does that mean that we would then have to pay them? Because it would be a negative bad effect on society.
How did they get that end-to-end encryption has a negative effect?
Because they can't read it.
But
how do you,
it's,
how
it's
do you
a
assign
positive
a
effect for me, so...
How do you assign a number to that?
I don't... It's not a zero-sum game. Just because it's a positive effect for me, I don't think implies that it's a negative effect for somebody else. That seems crazy.
It's a negative effect for the people who are trying to spy on you.
But...
Makes their job so hard.
Guys.
You don't. I mean, are you even thinking about them?
Are you against American jobs?
Well, this is not in America. So. Wow.
We just need everybody to get an implant in their brainstem, and we can just neutralize them from orbit whenever we feel like something that they're doing might be wrong. And then we can sort it out later. That's where we're headed.
And everybody can just live in that comfortable nihilism because nothing matters. because I might be dead in the next instant.
Yeah, it's like, I'm writing my paper here. It's not about terrorism. It's like, thunk, plunk. Oh, that's not good. Also in the news this week is ex-FBI Director James Comey used his personal email to conduct official business. But, I read this, and I don't think that's really true.
Talk about flattering photos.
Yeah, we've really been on a roll with weird photos this week. I mean, we've already had two or three stories where it's been like, what is this picture?
Does this organization have some kind of bias as a result of selecting this photo?
Oh, BuzzFeed? Yeah, there might be a little.
Like, just to be clear, I believe that the current situation on both sides of the aisle is an unmitigated dumpster fire, and really, honestly, that doesn't describe it.
Like, well, you're leaving out the reason that the media has sunk its teeth so deeply into this story is because the media is incredibly biased, and they love Hillary. Good Lord, do they love Hillary. And Comey went after Hillary, of course, about her emails. So this
she has a tweet. She even has a tweet.
Yeah.
In the article.
Oh, and it's so smart.
My emails.
Pure journalism.
That's a woman who's filled with poise and presidential integrity right there. But it doesn't seem like Comey used his... he didn't have any top secret documents. He didn't forward things to anybody but himself, it seems like. And while I agree that if you're going to be the FBI director, maybe you should have a little more security-minded focus. So he probably wasn't the man for the job. But I don't think this is apples and apples here.
Yeah, see, he's on the record as saying, I emailed myself documents to do word processing on them, documents that would ultimately become public. And this BuzzFeed article seems consistent with that, and the other things that I was able to research seem consistent with that. One of the things that was perhaps sensitive was the list of FBI employees and their hours, but I think that's not secret within the FBI. Like, anybody in the FBI could leak that, so I don't know how sensitive that really is.
There should be rules against it, for sure. But it's not the same level of disregard as Hillary was.
Yeah. Although technically still probably a disregard.
Yeah.
But, I would concede that it's not the same level. And so I don't know.
But hey, you know, if you want to treat it all the same, I don't disagree with that either. Because it's like, hey, you're in this position of power, you have to be held to a higher standard.
This is also, the next story that we have is from Tech Dirt, and it's the DOJ let cops know that SESTA FOSTA is for shutting down websites, not busting sex traffickers. And this is kind of a level one, I told you so. So like the previous stories where we're like, it seems like it's kind of reasonable, but we're saying this is going to be abused. FOSTA SESTA, on the surface of it, it's completely indefensible to be against FOSTA SESTA. And here we have people at an actual, like, a law enforcement conference bragging that the whole reason that was passed was to shut down websites and not actually to help people that are victims of sex trafficking.
Just for the record, that's not just, like, sex trafficking websites. That's just websites in general if they disagree with what you're doing.
Well, there's no such thing as sex trafficking websites.
Well, there's parts of it.
But what you're leaving out here is that I don't think he was bragging. I think he was sort of explaining it because they were angry because many law enforcement people have pointed out, they're like, hey, you know, we went on Backpage and we set up stings and we busted people who were going after underage prostitutes and stuff like that. And now we don't know where they are. They're somewhere else. So this was actually a tool that we used, and this FOSTA SESTA stuff is working against us. So why did you do that? And I think this speech was just sort of like him trying to justify it.
Yeah,
even though it doesn't really.
And that makes it worse.
The justification definitely makes it worse. It's literally just it's wrong.
I'd love to be there. Like, they're like, we can't do our job anymore. We can't arrest these people who are taking advantage of these girls. What do you have to say for yourself? Well, listen here. You know, that's true, but also we can take down anybody's site now. And then that person's just standing there like, what's the good side of this bill?
If you read between the lines, that's kind of, it was just like, oh, don't worry. This wasn't really about that. This was about taking down websites. It's basically, I mean, he doesn't come out and say it, but from everything that we've seen, that's pretty much the truth, I think.
And ironically, they were able to take down Backpage just before this went into law.
Yeah.
So they didn't even need this to take down Backpage.
But again, it seems like we were getting more out of it by, you know what, maybe letting consenting adults arrange sex for money. And going after the people who are using it improperly, which is exactly what that's what they were doing.
Law enforcement was actually using the site that is no longer there to find and help the people that needed help that were outside the consenting adults thing, I guess. People, technology, why? The Canadian music industry
Justin Bieber?
They want to put a tax. The music industry wants to put a tax on flash memory because it could potentially store pirated material. And this is not, like, you say that's crazy, but that's actually been a thing for the last 20 years because there is a tax on blank media and blank hard drives, old school computer hard drives, depending on what kind of hard drives you buy, where you buy it and there's a tax on that media or device that goes directly to the music industry. And they're saying, well, nobody's buying CDs anymore, so can we get a tax on flash memory?
And they actually argued that, hey, you remember that tax we put on blank CDs? Well, nobody's buying blank CDs anymore, so we're going to need to put a tax on something else now. And
phones.
I think it's not just, hey, people, we need a cut every time somebody buys one of these products. Like, that's crazy, right? Every time you buy storage, you have to pay a tax to these freeloaders. And this is the Canadian Private Copying Collective. I mean, just think about that name. But that's not even enough. No, they've gone one further and they said, you know what? You can just assume that X amount of media is going to be sold in a given year. And of course, you can just assume that everybody's using it for piracy. So just go, we figured it out. It's $43 million. Just go ahead and put that in our account every year.
There was one part where they were talking about it could be as much as $160 million for the changes that they want to make longer term. But yeah, it's like $43 million. It's like, oh, we need that. That's, we're owed that.
Even if nobody, if there's some horrible thing that happens and everybody stops buying digital storage, they would still get their $43 million if what they propose goes through.
Well, I would also point out that look at, like, YouTube. As horrible and broken as it is and, you know, subscribers and whatever, no one cares. There is no way for those kind of creators to participate in this. It is biased toward the old guard. Like, there is not... I would say that more of our culture is made up now from smaller creators, indie bands, and things like that, because you can find the kind of music that you want, than ever before at any point in history. And those people can't participate in things like this.
Well, they pointed out that when the previous tax came into existence, part of the argument was there's no way for us to monetize music anymore. And what they left out is the streaming world, which I guess YouTube is kind of part of that, it's exponential growth. So they're earning money from streaming, but they still want their piracy tax money as well.
What about merch? Live shows?
Well, I don't think the Piracy Collective gets a cut of the t-shirt.
Well,
money.
That, no. But
they would like to.
I'm thinking of the music industry.
We've got to work on some new Level 1 t-shirts soon. Yes.
We have KVMs in the store, by the way.
If
you guys missed it, I posted it on Twitter, but I don't know how many of you guys follow us there.
We do have KVMs, probably not for much longer based on the rate that they're selling. So we're gonna have some big names tweeting support for them too. So,
well, you know who doesn't follow us on Twitter, guaranteed.
Jared Taylor. Three of you were laughing, and then more of you will be laughing once I explain the joke. So white nationalist Jared Taylor can sue Twitter for banning him, a judge has ruled. So it's a loophole. It's really just a loophole. Jared is saying, Twitter says that they're a public forum and they advertise as a public forum and they're not really if they're going to let me be banned. So my lawsuit is really not my own personal lawsuit. It is a public interest lawsuit, which apparently caught Twitter's lawyers off guard. So the judge is going to allow the lawsuit to proceed on those grounds.
They pointed out one of his quotes or something in here and it was like, you know, why people need to breed together to ensure that...
Oh, yeah, terrible person.
The blacks, when left to themselves, would bring society down or something like that. So, but I would 100% defend his free speech. He gets to say whatever he wants. But you know who else has free speech? Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter can...
It's like Twitter can ban you.
Yeah.
It's their platform.
It's their service.
Twitter
yeah.
banning him is the same as me throwing him out of my house if he came in and started talking some, you know, like... white purity stuff. So it's a ridiculous case, and I'm amazed they're letting it go.
Just like if you're subbed to this channel, you don't have to watch our content.
No, you should. Please.
It's like, no, we expect it, and we're going to whine like children unless you watch.
Watch our content.
Yeah, but I have a feeling they're just letting this guy spend more on legal fees.
Yeah.
There's no way they're going to let him win.
Yeah, I think that the Twitter lawyers, I don't think the Twitter lawyers thought that he would have a reasonable legal argument, that they would just, he'd be laughed out of court, because I don't think they tried.
We've talked,
his trick now, so.
Yeah, we've done stories similar to this in the past, and in the comments, it's kind of terrifying how many people are like, no, Twitter and Facebook and Google, they do not get these same rights because they're giant corporations and they're evil and we must control them. Most people feel that way these days.
Until Comcast is actually filtering all of the internet, nothing stops you from setting up a web page and posting whatever terrible toxic stuff that you want on your own.
But no one has to host it.
Yeah.
Well, in the U.S.
Yeah, the U.S. has been weird about that kind of stuff, so...
No, I'm saying you can still do that in the U.S.
Oh, but not
anywhere else. But not everywhere else. Tanzania, foreshadowing.
The U.S. has been kind of squirrely with some of this stuff, too.
That ain't great, but
yeah,
it's better than Tanzania.
China. China's adding chips to cars' windshields so that the cameras have an easier time tracking the cars. But this story is going to be problematic because paywall.
Oh, it's another Wall Street Journal. Well... I read it somewhere else. So yeah, they're saying it's optional right now, but will be mandatory in 2019 or 2020. But like, who says yes to that? I think the car makers are just going to start putting them in there.
Yeah.
And so this thing, it's going to be in your windshield so that they can make your car part of the whole like social score tracking thing. They know where you go. They know if you're speeding and, you know, et cetera, and everything goes into that monolithic spying database.
I thought this was something like an attachment for a dash cam, but that's worse.
How crazy is it going to be when, like, the Taliban get a hold of this technology and it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you can't search your car until you sing Death to America.
Sing their song?
I don't think it has microphones yet, but it's just an RFID for now.
Well, I mean, stuff like that can increase your social score. It's like, you need to indoctrinate at least 3 children to raise your social score by 5 points.
They're basically, they're gamifying existence in China.
Yes, they absolutely are.
Pay credits, loot boxes.
I don't know. We talked about gamifying, pulling weeds from your garden with augmented reality. And that is some technology I could get behind.
Yeah. How often do you pull weeds in your garden, Wendell?
No, but see, we're...
Never, because it's terrible and boring.
We were talking about doing it as... you're not pulling your own weeds. Your weeds are being pulled by people playing a VR game with robots, and the winner gets a part of the money that you've set aside for your weeding budget.
I think this is the future of janitorial type jobs. Any kind of job that nobody wants to do, where it's like cleaning toilets or, you know, pulling weeds or whatever, this is the future of mankind.
Cleaning toilets. I don't know if cleaning toilets would be as fun as eradicating weeds.
Well, whatever you're experiencing in VR only has to be vaguely similar to the
toilet cleaning. Well, someone's too vigorous with the brush and they get toilet water all over your bathroom.
Well, then they got to clean that too.
Yeah.
Well,
but how will it know?
I mean, there are people out there that are playing Viscera cleanup detail, so that's true. Not that far off.
I actually did kind of like Viscera.
Well, and I guess if you were, so let's say, as soon as you got a 100% score, or maybe 96, let's not go crazy, you are pulled out of that bathroom cleaning robot and go into the next bathroom cleaning robot.
That's level 2.
And you're working for time.
It's the future. It's the future of mankind. And once you're doing that in the video game, there's an AI that's learning your moves, because eventually the human beings that are playing that game are going to be replaced with robots.
God, I love the future.
But coming back down to things that are a little bit more pedestrian, in Turkey, Periscope has been banned in Turkey because there's a Turkish company that has the copyright, I guess, on Periscope. So it's not known as Periscope in Turkey. It's known as what, Scope?
Scope TR, yeah. So. But, you know, what's funny is they sort of allude to it here. Who is this? Stockholm CF? I don't know. What kind of news site is that? But they allude to the fact that the counterculture in Turkey uses Periscope a lot. They like live stream their protests and all that stuff. So
probably has something to do with that.
Well, the other Periscope company is nothing to do with.
It's not even the same industry.
Phones or technology.
I thought it was shoes or something.
Something like that. So I think you can read between the lines here. He doesn't like Periscope, and this is a loophole. He probably called up the other Periscope company and was like, hey, you want to make some money?
They're like, man, yeah, we're just selling shoes.
Yeah.
Our next story is talking about the Yahoo data. Now, we've covered this Yahoo data breach a bunch of times. It goes all the way back to 2014. This UK watchdog has finally slapped Yahoo with a $250,000 fine for the data breach. And this story was kind of like the writer obviously got bored.
Because
what is that headline format?
Those are
Yahoo has an exclamation point in the company name, so they're making a statement here.
Those are not dollars, and we've already gone too long. We've already got 50 comments about that.
£250,000, I'm sorry.
But yeah, this there's not much to this story. It happened in 2014. What we found out in 2016, I think. So,
but the story's from 2018, Rebecca Hill.
So,
welcome to the comments.
So, thing happens. 2 years later, we find out about it. 2 years after that, somebody gets fined. So Cambridge Analytica will be, what, it's like 2022?
If they're even around.
They'll see some fines.
Yeah.
The investigation focused on a little over a half a million accounts that were based in the UK. So this fine is about 50 cents an account. I think that you could probably make more money than 50 cents per account.
Selling it?
Is that, or is that 50 pence? I don't know how that works. Are there 50 pence in a pound? Is that?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Our next story comes to us from Vietnam. Apparently in Nam, they're cracking down on tech firms and dissent in tech firms.
In so, Nam, eh?
Yeah.
Back in Nam.
Vietnam.
Yeah, they actually they don't like that the people are using social media. So they want, you know, I'm getting my stories confused. Is this where they wanted them to? No, no. They didn't want them to register.
No, the register story is next. This is something that takes effect.
January. Oh, no, no, no. They wanted Facebook. Okay, I remember it now. Facebook and Google must operate data centers in Vietnam, and they must give the government access to that data.
They got to do this by January 1, 2019.
So the people are basically saying, hey, because, you know, Vietnam is communist, and they take a lot of their marching orders from China, who is also communist. And the people are like, we know what's going on in China. You're trying to do that here, and we don't want that. But they're going to do that.
Ha ha ha, laughing in binary. 91% of the legislators approved this or recommended this or whatever. And it's done under the guise of cybersecurity. They're like, we don't want a cybersecurity attack to take out our data.
Who are the poor 9% who said no, and are they dead yet?
They're being executed as we speak.
Yeah.
They're in work camps.
Let's hope they're in work camps.
And not to be outdone, Tanzania is asking everybody that has every blogger that hasn't registered to take down their blog.
The registration, here's the crazy part about this story. So if you are a media source in Tanzania, you must register every year. The registration cost is equivalent to $900.
That seems like a lot for Tanzania.
The average monthly income in Tanzania, less than $900. Or, no, did I say monthly? Annual.
Annual.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So what? Nobody can, no individuals can register.
The big media companies can, no problem. But yeah, anybody that operates a blog or anything like that, and they actually talk about, again, there's like the dissident side. There's like a side that's like, we dare to speak out. It's a forum. And they immediately took it down because like, yeah, we can't pay that.
Do you have to pay the fine if you just edit Wikipedia articles?
Well, that's not hosted in Tanzania, so...
That's probably still okay.
Probably just blocked.
Could you blog on, like, Blogspot? Is that a thing?
Wikipedia.
Blogger.com.
And the Periscope article for Turkey, they listed all the stuff that's banned there. Wikipedia's been banned in Turkey for a couple of years.
Wow.
What a miserable life that would be to not have Wikipedia, because that's a great black hole to get lost down.
I'm sure they can easily, you know, VPN and get to it, but to officially it's blocked.
I saw also in that article that one specific Twitter handle was blocked in Turkey, the Periscope Twitter handle, and it's like, how do you even do that? Because it's HTTPS.
Well, that goes to show you what they've...
they're breaking the internet. Yeah. They're breaking the internet right now. And when they figure it out in these other countries, it will come to the more developed countries, I promise you. Canada's random immigration lottery uses Microsoft Excel. Well, there's your problem. Microsoft Excel is not actually random. So they've just, it's a big old spreadsheet. Everybody that wants to immigrate to Canada, if you, whether or not you can, you're dependent on Excel to do it.
It's not everybody. This is for parents and grandparents of existing citizens.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. It's not actually random. Yeah. It's Excel. Okay.
They brought it up, but at the same time, I don't get the impression that they're necessarily like, they might not even be in alphabetical order. It's like, look, dude, we just throw this into a spreadsheet and we hit random. We don't really care. We don't care that much about it. We're trying to be fair, but if it's not 100% fair, we weren't really trying that hard.
It's provably unrandom.
So we're going to keep doing it this way is basically what they said.
Yeah. They're like, it's random enough. At least they're using something newer than Excel 07, because before Excel 07, the random number generator was basically returned 3. So I guess that's something.
Is there a guarantee that they're doing that? I don't know that it is.
Yeah, yeah. They talked about how, like, they were using something newer than Excel 07, and they talked about how Excel's random number generator has historically been terrible, and it's less terrible since Excel 07. Prior to Excel 07, it was just garbage.
A really, really convoluted ad for Excel. And Canada's in on it.
Or, no, it wouldn't be. It would be not Excel, but like one of the open source spreadsheet programs. You shouldn't use Excel. You should use this. Or go back to Lotus 1-2-3 for DOS.
Do you think, was it OpenOffice? It's LibreOffice now,
it
right?
It is LibreOffice.
Do we know? I wonder what kind of randomizer they use.
Someone in the comments is going to leave a very detailed description, which is going to be great for the algorithm in terms of engagement.
Don't use links, though. I don't click the links.
Oh, yeah. It'll actually not display if you post a link in our YouTube.
Oh, yeah. It thinks it's spam.
Yeah.
You know what else is spam? Not really. I don't know. Spamming people with RF radiation. So here's an AI that can track humans through walls with just a Wi-Fi signal. And so you can see it's got the skeleton here.
Look at the high fidelity image it generates.
Yeah. But it gets the skeleton through AI.
It's close enough.
Yeah, it actually, if you look at the, it actually sees your joints, and I'm not sure why.
Well, if it needs to shoot at you, right?
But this AI is good enough that if it's a whole room full of people, which you're basically just looking at different blobs, it can see how the blobs interact, like swinging limbs and stuff, and build the stick figures, which is pretty incredible.
This has already been sold to the Department of Defense. Guarantee it.
And they make the argument in this, and they're like, well, you know, we're very security-minded, and this is for nursing homes. But they know. They know what they're doing.
Oh. Randy Sr. was caught hiding behind a bookshelf again. We wouldn't have found him if it weren't for that.
Well, they talk about, like, Parkinson's and, you know, people if you fall down, like that kind of thing. So it could tell when bad things are happening, but we all know how this is going to be used.
I don't think this gives old people enough privacy, because you're going to be able to tell when they're doing other things too, and that's not good.
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about it on the news before, but I've seen a lot of news stories that modern nursing homes are like high school for old people, including all the sex.
Which is...
So think about that for a minute.
In stick figure fiction... You're welcome, level one.
Very slow-moving stick figure sex. Very careful.
Will there be a stick? Never mind.
Well, there's no joint there.
No. But who knows how high fidelity this will be one day.
This is only a first-generation AI. It could, you know, could get way better. Mm. You know, Google's DeepMind is developing... its AI is developing... programs that can render 3D objects from 2D pictures.
You're like, your memory was like backed up there and you were trying to get it out, but like...
Yeah, it was bad.
That's funny.
So this is, I don't know how young our audience gets. Most of them are old like us, I think. But if you've played old games, like Wolfenstein and the DOS-based games, where you had really rudimentary 3D maps, this basically gives you the ability to take pictures of those in 2D. And the AI will fill it out and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you can kind of see what it's doing here from just this kind of a... It's got a picture here, 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 and here. And from that, it's sort of reconstructed this 3D floor plan thing.
And it can also do shapes. Like, it shows that there's a circle or like an obloid type thing. And it'll do shadows as well. So it only sees one side. And it assumes the rest of the circle.
It knows. It's learning. So from an observation of an object, it can sort of reproduce something in 3D. That's really scary.
It's kind of cool, though.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Look, that's perfect. just don't accept the cookies and we don't have to censor this. Because, I mean, you are just like 5 pixels away from a nipple right here.
We were going to, I don't know. This kind of belongs in the nonsense section, but if you're in the U.S., the U.S. has banned child sex robots, just so you know. And this is a news article talking about that.
And the stock photo they used had some mannequins with some very obvious nipples. And we were like, we're going to get demonetized for those nipples.
Well, and, you know, Stacy is a very sensitive lady, and we're trying to be respectful of her wishes.
So. You know, ironically, she doesn't have nipples.
She doesn't. We found her beat up in a closet.
But anyway, yeah, this thing is called the acronym. Find the acronym, because it's the greatest name for a piece of... Oh, you can't scroll.
I can't scroll.
Very carefully. You could, but they won't be able to see it.
Well, carefully scroll past that, because I can't remember. Oh, there it is. Okay. Curbing realistic exploitative electronic pedophilic robots.
The Creeper Act.
The Creeper Act.
Someone spent a lot of time
on the acronym.
Like, they spent like half of a work day coming up with the acronym.
But just to be clear, it's totally okay for you to still import your Hell's Angels sex robot.
Hell's Angels sex robot?
Like a big, giant, burly man with a leather coat and a beard. That's still okay.
Well, that would be a consenting adult.
I don't think the Hell's Angel Motorcycle Club would appreciate the comparison that you're making there. But yeah, this is specifically for child-looking. And they pointed out there's some online marketplace that caters to this. And they didn't link to it, which, thankfully. But they pointed out his names like Innocence. And,
oh, yeah.
It's really disgusting. So that's illegal, or will be soon. I can't imagine anybody votes against this. Can you imagine being that guy?
No.
Listen, I think we need.
It would be interesting. We need to revisit this and see who doesn't vote against it, because... Yeah. Belarus. Belarus has developed a drone kit for anti-tank...
This is my favorite drone ever.
Developed should be in quotation marks.
Really, it's like, hey guys, let's just put a propeller on a rocket launcher. Otherwise, leave it exactly the same.
So maybe that's what happened to FPS Russia. They went to Belarus, and they're doing this now.
I don't know, because most of these things have, like, the projectile pops out, and then the fins open up, and then the rocket starts. So I wonder how it stays on target during that first launch.
That is a good question.
Maybe it's more of a concept.
They might have targeting systems, and it doesn't matter. But yeah, there's not much information here. But then again, I mean, take a look at this guy.
I mean, it does look amazing.
It's a battery and a propeller on a rocket launcher.
Why did this even need to be launched from a drone? Like, why is that a thing? Like, if it's a rocket,
because it looks cool, Wendell.
You could just launch it.
It's anti-tank, so you're probably bunkered down behind cover, and if you pop your head out. You're going to take a tank shell. So you send this dude up. What tank is going to be accurate enough to hit that?
Oh, yeah, while it's flying. Yeah. Well, that's it for this episode of the news. You're going to have to stay tuned until tomorrow for the next episode of the news.
Here's an engagement prompt. Name rocket launcher drone robot.
Oh, yeah.
Launchy.
Betty. Anyway.
We'll see you in the next one. And if you're impatient, you can always join the Patreon and watch the next one right now.
The next two?
Oh, yeah, the next two.
Yeah, one Friday. The whole episode.
The Friday nonsense episode. Or you can watch last Friday's nonsense episode if you're poor, because it's funny.
Or just whatever. We'll talk to you later.
It's fine. Thank you.
Bye.